those brackets haven't. I'm sure it's lagged through a wall with something really impressive on the other side, hopefully. And not just screwed, but, you know, maybe a threaded rod. Like, I know my upper house bracket is braced on both sides with steel. The bracket is on the outside, and there's a horizontal 2x6, I think it is, and threaded, and four pieces of threaded rod coming through right under the peak of the house. Now, the front half of my house is peaked at a ridiculous pitch that, you know, will, you know, make you scared, terrified. The back half of the house is a full dormer. It's a 1/12 pitch, so it actually meets the ADA requirements for a sloping ramp. It's a 1/12 pitch roof, so it's, yeah, I could legally run a wheelchair there. Hi. So that part's much easier, and even then, I go up there tethered. When I go, I actually tether onto the tower going up the side of the house. When I get up to the top, I remain tethered, and then what I do is I have a long piece of loop, tubular loop, that I run out to the rotating mast, and I basically run that out and back so that I basically have now a runner line, and then I clip into that runner line back and forth, and that allows me to go anywhere on the roof I want, and I'm still supported and tethered. So if I, you know, God forbid, have a stroke or a heart attack or a seizure or some other darn thing, or trip like a moron, I'm not going to go far. I may not be happy, I may be banged up, but I'm not going to die. So that's all good. So if you can get that squared away, I would think that, you know, hiring a tree guy to climb your mast with pegs, I think, is a very reasonable thing to do. And if there are holes in there for the pegs now, you might as well replace them and get them in there so that everything is happy. Treat them, you know, such that they won't rust or corrode or whatever, cause a safety hazard. But I would do all that, and, you know, Art, if you don't feel comfortable, climbing, then hire somebody to do it, and nothing wrong with that. Go for the performance, have everything ready, and do that. Now, regarding your other end question about the traps, if the antenna is down, I think there's a way to buzz out the traps, and there's actually a bunch of online videos on how to test the traps. Because basically you're testing them for, you know, for resonance at a particular frequency, and that can be done with a grid depth meter and a few other variations on that. So there's good YouTube videos on how to do that, and if you want someone who may have done it a time or two, you might want to talk to Jim Joyce. But I would also, before you do that, I would run a couple of YouTube videos on the subject.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Hey, good advice, Gordon. I'll check some YouTube videos. They're always a good source for everything. And when the... a couple of things. The pegs don't actually go through the pipe. I call them pegs, but they're really not pegs. They're actually what they call pipe riser clamps. They strap around the pipe with a bolt on each side, and they hold the pipe by compression. So you have to snug up those bolts really good so it doesn't slip. If it slips it, you may come down, with it. So that's the way I always had it. And when I put that antenna up, I climbed up there, and I had a belt on, and I tied a rope on the beam, on each beam, and put it up there, and it was no problem at all. But when I had it taken down, the tree guy, he did not go up those pegs. He came in with a bucket truck and levered over from the garage over to that mast and took everything down through the... As a matter of fact, he laid the antenna. antenna right on the top of his, the 2 meter and the tri-band are right on top of his bucket, and then brought it down to the ground and we disassembled it. He said he would be willing to put it back up, you know, whenever. And so that's where I am with that now. But, I also made a clamp to put up on the top of that so that I could have something where I could tether a safety line in. And that would have to go up there, too, because I'm probably crazy enough to climb up that pipe again. Back to net control.
Well, you know what I like about the clamp thing is that you can put them in at the interval you like, and you can add as many as you're willing to buggy lug up the darn thing. And if you need to, you can paint it on the way down and make a mess of yourself and leave them on there, or you can remove them. I mean, what a... I've just never seen them. But, yeah, at some point... I'm assuming they have these for different size pipes.
Oh, yeah, you can get them in any good plumbing supply house. You're not going to find them in, you know, the big box store, but you got to go to a real commercial plumbing supply house. And they call them pipe riser clamps. What they use them for is when you're running vertical pipes through different floors and you want to support the pipe, you put the clamp on the pipe and let it rest on one of the beams. And this way the pipe will be fully supported. It won't fall down. As a matter of fact, the gym I go to, every time I go in there, I see these pipe hanger clamps in there, and I say, well, there they are. And that's the other thing about them. When I put them up, I had them about 18, 20 inches apart, and I bought more of them. And I noticed the new ones I bought, the old ones were about 3/16 to a quarter inch thick, and now they're much, much thinner. And I had them painted, and the paint, came off of it, and they started to rust a little bit. So I was going to clean them up and put them back up. So we'll see how that goes. Back to that.
Okay. So they're not really meant as climbing rungs, but they're so robust. I've actually seen those. They literally are like two, if you will, heavy metal straps that are shaped like the omega or the symbol pi, kind of squished down into a semicircle. And you clamp them together, and they have a set screw to hold to make darn sure they don't move, right?
No, no set screw, but they have on either side of the C. If you can envision a C, and then if you draw a line out on each leg of the C, you know, one up vertically, one down horizontal, one down, and one up. There's a hole on each side. That a bolt goes through, and I use stainless steel bolts. So you tighten those bolts up, and it clamps each half of the clamp up against the pipe.
Yeah, what's the term called again?
Pipe riser clamps.
Oh yeah, look at that. By the way, I googled testing antenna traps, and there's lots of stuff, both YouTube videos and other references there. But it also, as I was typing it, I remember a conversation that goes back into earlier this year with AK2S that I had. And it was an ongoing conversation that lasted from like last November until, let's say, May. And he was testing various traps for his 20-meter beam, and was getting all kinds of weird and inconsistent measurements, et cetera, to the point where he said, forget it, and he just ordered, you know, six new traps for his antenna and be done with it. And he put it up, and it worked the first time.
Well, it may take that that route too. I would definitely have to order new end caps. The only thing I wouldn't be certain of is if I ordered them, it's a high gain tri-bander, is that if they fit. And the thing that I like about this one, the boom on it, it's not four pieces, it's only two pieces. And I like that. I wouldn't want to have a four-piece boom. I'd much prefer the two-piece boom. And the caps are still available. The traps, I don't know. I mean, this is a pretty old antenna, and who knows how many design changes. They still sell the one with the same same model number, but they might have changed some dimensions, or maybe some of their tolling might have worn out. Who knows? So it would be questionable whether or not everything would fit. I guess I could ask them, but a lot of times you don't get the right answer.
Right, and I'm looking at the riser clamps. Yeah, I guess you could make those into a step. That's a scary thought, but I'd want to use some really good steel with that, not stamped metal. They would have to be hard drawn. But okay. Let's see. So regarding your trap thing, I would test them using whatever techniques you can get, and if you're satisfied with that, then use them. Make careful note of where they came from. I mean, you're a pretty careful guy, so I think you'll do that. The other thing is, regarding end caps, there's something to be said for a tube of silicone and be done with it.
Yeah, you know, I looked at them, and it's funny. The top of those black plastic end caps, they're all dry rotted and cracked. The underside there, they look pretty darn good, so the sun really does a job on them. We did check that antenna once I took it down. Bennett brought his antenna analyzer over, and he said 20 meters isn't working properly at all. And I believe 10 and 15 did seem to work okay. I pulled one of those plastic caps off, and it was all filled. Inside the trap, it was filled with some sort of fuzzy stuff. And there's weep holes in the bottom of those traps, so apparently insects got in there, even at that height, and were making a home inside the trap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's something to be said for either a continuously loaded antenna or a trapless antenna, but, you know, we don't have the space for it. I mean, I don't certainly. John, as you heard, bought a T-32. That's only two elements. It's okay, but he's thrilled on 20. But I don't know what a new TA-33 costs. Do you have the Mosley? I probably have Mosley traps here. I just don't know what they are, how to recognize them as Mosley traps. So, are the Mosley antennas the ones that use the clamps to hold the elements, each half of an element on the boom?
K2LAX, negative on that. They just use, basically, stove bolts, the stainless steel.
So, how do they affix? Yeah, what do they use to gusset the element to the boom?
They use it's pretty impressive engineering. They use a lot of inner sleeve, over sleeve type aluminum tubing, and it's basically all overlapping. And it's kind of, you know, from my point of view, being from aviation, the way that they obtained the strength for weight was pretty impressive. The elements, are basically, should be able to be checked actually with an ohmmeter once you take the high gain uses an aluminum cover, like the Mosley does. The Mosley uses an aluminum cover over the traps, and so that adds a capacitance level to it. but usually with the, I read a whole report on repairing Mosley traps because I wanted to know what I was going to get into later on, and it's pretty simple repair. You remove the aluminum cover, you rewind the trap, and you're done. Over.
You just need new plastic end caps for the trap.
Actually, they use metal end caps. There's no plastic.
Okay, so Art, what antenna do you have?
Okay, I'm going to botch this. Let me pull my folder out here on the... it's a high gain, and let me see if I can put my finger on it right away. Let's see here. Let me see if this is the right one. Oh, yeah, it looks like this is the right one. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is the vertical. Stand by for a second.
We will be happy to do that. Tell you what, while you're shuffling through, WHYSC, do you have anything for the net tonight?
W2TTT, K2BAR, Oz, WA2IC. Not really. I was up in Syracuse over the weekend, but I was too busy eating and drinking and hanging out and watching football games to do any hams, ham activity. Anyway, back to net.
Watching the Orange get slaughtered again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got our you-know-whats wiped.
Yeah, sort of like going to watch a service academy game when they play, a marquee football team, as opposed to blah, 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 never heard of it, State College. Anyway, yeah, all right. All right, I just figured you might want to check into that. So, Art?
Yeah, I found it. It's a high gain TH3-MK33 element, 10-15 and 20 meters. That I bought from Harrison Radio, Farmingdale, New York. Don't see a date on it, but that's what it is. Over.
And in my hand is the instruction manual for the Telex High Gain. Order number 388S, TH3 Mark III, hyphen S, Thunderbird, 3-element ham antenna. Is that it?
Give me the number again.
It says TH3 Mark III, hyphen S, 3-element, Thunderbird.
No, I don't have an S, but I believe the same model is in the MFJ catalog. They still make it, and they might have had a different number at the end or in a letter. I'm not sure, but my information says TH3-MK3. Apparently, it's still being made, though, I believe.
Okay, this is exactly the antenna I thought. So this is the one that uses a pair of clamps, opposing clamp faces, to hold each half of the element together, and then they use an insulated stub on the driven. So yes, I probably have some spare traps for this. So let me see what I've got in the yard, and I will. Whatever I have is yours to behold. And basically. I can assure you they've been probably mangled, meaning not the traps, but the elements, because those clamps don't necessarily want to come apart. People have used other than stainless on the clamps that hold the two sandwich pieces together. And as a result, they have to be taken apart, with a Sawzall, which is evil. But, that can be pretty ugly. But anyway... I'm sure I preserve the traps because I would never, ever, ever cut into a trap. But it just may be a little more entertaining to figure out which one it is. But I'm looking at, the reflector has two traps on each side. The driven has two traps on each side. and so does the director. So there we go.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. The other thing, now that I'm looking at the pictorial of this antenna, the beta match tubes, they're held on the boom by these plastic braces, and I remember when we took it down, I think one or two of those broke also, so I'd have to get those too. Probably all still available from High Gain. You know, it's owned by MFJ now, and it was a good antenna. It lasted me like 40 years. I did change out. It didn't come with stainless steel hardware. And you're also right about little aluminum clamps. I changed out all the screws in that to stainless steel. I knew I was going to have trouble down the road with it. And so it's all disassembled, and it's in my basement just waiting for me to dedicate some time to it. Back to Ned.
Okay. So let me look around for some traps for you. That should not be hard. I mean, I might even have element halves in decent shape. And if I do, they're yours if you want them. If nothing else, just to identify which trap is which. If they're on an element half, it'll make it a whole lot easier to figure out than if I separate them out and say, here you go, good luck.
Each one of the traps on mine has a little label that's still attached to the trap telling me what it is. I didn't take the elements. I just removed the elements from the boom and took the boom apart. And I kept all the elements, you know, with the two traps on each one. And I marked each one what they were, so I know how it goes back together. I don't have to figure out what trap is what because they are labeled over.
Okay, so worst case is we could sight match the traps to what you have because you have a ready, stable reference set. So if I hold up another trap next to it or can electrically test for it, you know, we can probably figure it out assuming they're in both in good order. All right, that's good. Well, anybody else want to comment on Art's antenna quandary? Okie dokie. Well, Art, do you have anything more?
No, very good. I am surprised. You know, I thought of this stuff. I didn't think I had anything for that tonight, but just listening to you guys kind of brought something to mind. So, yeah. Very, very good. Thanks for the help, Gordon, and the net is very enjoyable. So I'll say 73 is to everyone, and let somebody else pick it up. It's getting late. So 73, this is WP2 TQT. We'll be going about listening for a little while.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you all for making it a lovely net. John, Andrew, Art, and Bob. It's all good, and glad we were able to have such a lively net, a really good net, an hour and a half. My Lord. Excellent. I have a couple of technical things to do in the truck. I went on a little drive test tonight and doing some checking of 2.4 gig propagation, and I have some geolocated. Basically, I used an APRS beacon to mark where I was, what time I was there, and then I have signal strengths that are gathered that are also time-hacked. So I just have to marry up the two sets of data and see if where I was has a path to my friend N3UXK's house over in Woodland Park. We noticed he's got some rather spectacular coverage across the valley on the west side of the mountain, and that's a good thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I gotta check that out before. If it's not disturbing my son, I will go out and look on the deck. I have in the overhead part of my deck, I have in what remains of the pergola, I have some sections of what I believe is this antenna. So I should be. I'm just gonna satisfy myself that I have the sections, and tomorrow I'll
in the morning, I'll, before I run into work, I'll check up on the rest of this, and we'll go from there. But this is exciting. And we'll see you tomorrow night at the Races meeting. You're coming up against a rather interesting talk at Farallon. But I can assure you I will be there. I think you said 7 o'clock, so I'll try to get there a little ahead of there. So 73, and keep smiling. This is, before I close in, any last comments?
K2LAX, just looking forward to anybody that shows up tomorrow night. Looking forward to a entertaining discussion. Over.
Sheree, and I will, John, your email is K2LAX. That's at ARRL.
Now, to optimum.net. That's your best bet.
Okay. I'm going to forward you what I sent to the Farallon guys. They haven't bought in, but they haven't rejected it either. So my guess is they're probably going to talk about it. Blah, 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 blah. But my feeling is we could actually dovetail one into the other. The question is, am I available on the 12th in the first place? I got to find that out, too. But I'll square that away.
L151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Yeah, I had some reflections when I did my experiment here. I just put on a repeater. I knew where the repeater was, but I just wanted to see how the software would work and see what reflections. I did it from my house. I did it from where I work. I did it from Tallman. And I believe I did it from State Line Lookout, and at least two of those actually intersected exactly where the repeater was. The other ones, after doing some analysis of exactly what happened, I could see why there was some reflections. The one, there was a bit of a hill in the way, and that, and the other one, there was a very strong reflection from a hill and another hill in the way. So, and it was basically like a cliff. Must have been a lot of metal in there. So, it explained what happened. So, that was very interesting.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
CQ, CQ, 8, 10, 11.
unlike anything else on the market. And the clues that we have, and the clues we have, we're going to talk about that.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
WSU-TTT, let's say 835.
NJ2BS, repeat.
W2CCC, listening.
This is the NJ2BS, repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS, repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.